Welcome to Bengals Scribe Session, presented by JosephOtto.com and Inquirer Sports. Here, your Bengals beat writers Paul Daner Jr. and Richard Skinner escort you inside the walls of Paul Brown Stadium to hear the news, analysis, and observations unfolding within the team from those documenting it daily. All with the sidecar of snark and absurdity you've come to expect. Let's go. We're about to start a party in here. He's big strong, play guitar in here. Looks like we got a good crowd here. Turn it up, pretend and get lively.
Ball is out. The Bengals have scooped it up. Terrence Newman running back to the 30, 20, 10, 5, touchdown.
It is knocked up in the air. AJ Green makes the catch.
Oh man!
A deflected ball winds up in the hands of AJ Green, and the clock hits zero.
It's about to get rowdy here, but if you want to fight, get out of here. We about to tear off the roof in here. We about to knock something loose in here. I can't do my thing in here.
All right, welcome to the latest edition of Scribe Session. Skinny. It's a whole new world. It's a whole new world that we are in.
Demons have been exorcised, according to one local broadcaster.
They're exercising.
They're doing jumping jacks.
They're doing calisthenics in the background.
Didn't seem to know how to spell that word.
Yeah, I gotta say, we're changing it up. We're changing up. You know what? We love our podcast.
We do.
Listeners. They're best. They're the best. And so we wanna expand so that our diehard podcast listeners can get a little more. Maybe we can bring in a few more people because we're going live video podcast today.
Interactive.
It's a whole. It's like we just jumped forward a decade. We're breaking it. We're ahead of the curve right now at this point.
I jump forward
for you out there, the people out there.
I jumped forward when I got home at 5 in the morning and fell asleep at about 6 in the morning and got up at 8:30 in the morning. So
we
I jumped forward. I need a whole day to jump forward, my
we
friend.
We need a disclaimer. We should put out a disclaimer to everybody that neither of us are on more than about 4 to 5 hours
it's
sleep.
It's not good.
I went for the extra large coffee.
I haven't had any of mine yet.
No?
No. Need some.
You know what? We could probably take a break. I can just talk for like 5 minutes
I'm
while
good.
You get
I can
it.
Do that. I can do this.
I'm scared to see what you're like without
coffee. I may jump
coffee.
Out that window, but I can do this.
I'm scared to see what you're like on
you don't,
on 4 hours sleep and no coffee. I don't think I've seen that before.
I've got about an hour podcast in me. That's about where I am.
That's about where you are. That's about all we've got. All right, so the coffee is hot. We've got, you know, I got to tell you, so since we're doing it now, we're doing the live thing, I just pumped it out on Twitter. We'll do some questions. We'll do some fun with Twitter later, which it's not normally fun. Sometimes it makes you want to slit your wrist.
And I'm really looking forward to, because I want to answer this question for everyone, because it's the burning question. How's Tyler Eifert doing? That's what I want to know.
Is he going to be back? When is Tyler Eifert going to come? Does anybody know?
We'll answer that question for you. We promise.
I will. Will you?
Because your head will blow clean off.
I boil a little bit.
I'll answer it for you. Because I got that question last night, by the way.
You?
I did.
It's the first
I got a question,
question
of, will Marvin Jones, Burfict, or Tyler Eifert be back in the postseason?
It's about the first question I get any time I say that I'm asking questions. I'm done. I'm already hot.
I know. See,
I'm already hot.
I didn't mean to change
do this. All right. So we'll get to some questions in a little bit. But first, I think we gotta rehash what happened behind us last night. I'll go. I mean, listen, I'm open about it. I didn't see it. I didn't see it happening. And let me tell you why I didn't see it happen. I did not see that happening because you knew that they were going to have to run the ball at will. And I just didn't see the second-ranked run defense.
And Paul,
the most
really
they'd given up was 133 in a game, and they ran for 207.
Yeah, but they really didn't run it at will, but they kept at it. And that's the thing
right.
They've not done in some other games, is when they've pounded their head against the wall and it's not worked, they have stopped, as opposed to pounding and then pop finally the one that you need, or the two that you need, or last night the three you need, pop. They had 207 yards, obviously. 6 carries for 151 yards, 31 carries for 56. So that tells me that they didn't have great consistent success, but when they did keep doing it, they were able to pop one, including, obviously, really what was a huge momentum changer after the pick six that Dalton threw, the 85-yarder by Jeremy Hill.
What is everybody sitting there saying after the Dalton pick
I know what
six.
I was saying.
Everybody's saying, here you go again.
It was it's almost exactly like it served up it on a platter, for goodness sake.
I mean, it was the narrative playing out just as everybody thought it would. Not only, I mean, how many times have you seen this? The complete disaster scenario. Pick six, he throws A.J. Green into an injury. Now A.J.'s hobbling off, holding his arm. They're up 6-0. Chaos. Everything is falling apart, just like, well, it has happened so many times on Prime. This is just going to be the latest way that it went down.
And to their credit, as opposed to trying to get Andy back in the confidence realm, which Hugh Jackson has done this year, it's happened when he's thrown pick sixes. It's getting back on the horse, get him a couple completions. He turned to what? He turned to a running play on the very first play from scrimmage, and what happens? Jeremy Hill goes 85 yards for a touchdown.
Game changer. I mean, season changer.
Absolute season changer. Because then it showed that, okay, if we just keep at this, we can pop some. And it didn't hurt that they're without two of their three starting linebackers, the middle linebacker Brandon Marshall and Danny Trevathan, who was on IR. That helps too. Let's not discount that factor of it. But we've seen it. We saw it in the Cleveland game here. Got behind because of Andy. Then decided, all right, we don't want to run the football. And it made it even worse. It made the situation worse. And you and I, we talked to Hugh this week, and he talked about how he even looked back and said, you know, I could kick myself a little bit for not sticking with the run at times. Right. I have to do it. And obviously, it worked out for the best.
Yeah, it did. And, I mean, you know, Jeremy Hill has – I tweeted this out immediately after that last night. How did LSU lose a game last year?
I know, he's really good.
Odell Beckham, Jeremy Hill,
Jarvis
Landry, Zach Mettenberger actually isn't that good.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the one thing that you learned from this, but – I mean,
Alfred Blue was on that team.
Jeremy Hill has become the personality of this team.
Absolutely right. That's dead on.
And you know what? And Giovanni Bernard has been better for it. This is two games in a row since the change in how they play, so to speak, the elevation of Jeremy. You're getting the best out of Jeremy because he's a volume guy. And you're getting the best out of Gio because you have to get him in the right spots.
There's no question. 100 yards last week against Cleveland from scrimmage. 85 yards last night from scrimmage. Was the second on the team in receivings. Made a great play. They got him isolated on a linebacker.
That's what he does.
That is
it's
perfect.
Ideal.
You give him just a handful of carries. He popped a nice run one time, too. You know, and if a game worked out where Paul, you know, it's a 40-plus carry game, he probably would have gotten three or four more carries last night than what he got. But that's how you use him. You don't get him beat up that way. You still get the best of him. If you were to tell me that Gio Bernard's going to get you 90 to 100 yards from scrimmage every game, 40 of those rushing and 50 of those receiving, at the end, that's a 1,600-yard from scrimmage season for a backup running back. You don't think you wouldn't take that when your main guy's going to maybe rush for 1,500?
Yeah. I mean, there's no... I mean, it's unbelievable. Four games over 140 in basically eight since he started kind of taking over.
And to put this in some historical perspective, he's the first Bengal running back to ever do that, which is just staggering.
And in half a season.
In half a season, too. He's also the third rookie to ever do that in NFL history behind, Curtis Martin, who's in the
Hall of Fame.
And Eric Dickerson, who's in the
Hall of Fame.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty special what's happening here. And this is what we talked about. Really, over the last month, we've talked about this. If you can get this running game to be one that can be stubborn and efficient in both ways, and just you can make up for the blemishes of your quarterback.
And I'm going to give I'm going back to giving Hugh Jackson a lot of credit.
Big time.
Early in the year, he said, "I have to do whatever it takes to get us to win football games," and that sounds logical. In the very first game of the year, they threw it probably more times than they should have in the Baltimore game. Threw it 38 times. I think he has come to realize, come hell or high water, the identity of this football team is simply running the football. And you've seen it the last 2 weeks. That's exactly what they've become. You know, they did something last night they haven't done in over a decade, rush for 200 yards in a game in back-to-back games.
Yeah.
They've decided this is the identity. Andrew Whitworth, after the game, talked about, you know, this has given us a feistiness. I mean, the big offensive lineman shouldn't use the word feistiness, for goodness sakes.
Feisty is a tougher word than you're giving it credit for.
It's a little effeminate, I'm not going to lie.
Don't
when a 6'7", 300-pounder gives me feistiness, I'm taken aback by it.
I think feisty's okay. I think maybe
it's okay. It's okay for my daughter to say.
This is just a generation gap here.
Maybe
I think feisty got a lot tougher, like when in for the millennials
when it took steroids.
Yeah, feisty
took steroids,
got some roids, got toughened up, and I think feisty's tougher than your.
But it was actually an appropriate term last night. It has given this team a feistiness, and that's the one thing now going in the playoffs. You do have something you could. It's not catch as catch can anymore. This is the identity. If somebody stops them, okay, but this is what they've decided. This is what we do best, and we're going to do it until somebody completely shuts it down, or it doesn't work.
And what happened last night? Andy Dalton didn't play well.
Back to, honestly, he didn't play well in Cleveland.
He didn't play well in Cleveland either. But it didn't matter because that's not where they hinged all their hopes. Just because it's a quarterback league doesn't mean you have to be a quarterback team. You've seen how many teams prove this now. Seattle proved it.
Right.
Baltimore proved it the year that they won it. They turned much more to Ray Rice. Flacco played very well, but they turned much more to the running game as well. San Francisco has proved it in getting there the last few years. This model is out there, and you can make up for a quarterback that last night missed a lot of throws and even made a mistake that killed you.
And that's the thing. It's okay to say Andy Dalton's not an elite quarterback. There's only a handful of them out there.
Doesn't mean he can't win a title.
Right, and if you don't have one, that's okay. Figure out then what do you do best.
Yeah.
Right? And he is not in the lower realm of guys, so it's not like you're fighting through a McCown or a Ryan Lindley or somebody
Johnny
like that.
Johnny Football.
You're fighting through a guy who's now taking you to four straight playoffs. I'm okay with that. But don't all of a sudden say this is a pass-happy league. You got to throw the football because that's what other teams do. That's great that Peyton Manning's going to throw it 40 times. It's great that Brady's going to do that. Great that Aaron Rodgers. That's what they are. That's not what this team is.
And to me, that's why there's reason to believe that this year could be different. Because of that exact reason that you're talking about. Because they are no longer basing themselves around having to throw it. That in the last 3 years, they have thrown it. Andy Dalton has killed them in the playoffs. Now
they've thrown it too much.
They've proved that they can beat one of the top two teams in the AFC when Andy Dalton doesn't even play well because they can just run the ball and let their other players take over, which is what people have been saying here really since this group got together. Is that ask Dalton to do a few things for you. Take care of the game, but let the rest of your talented roster be the one
that
wins
exactly
it.
Right.
And they were. Special teams, defense.
Adam Jones is a Pro Bowl caliber kick returner.
There's no
question about it. Dre Kirkpatrick is a former first-round draft pick. Jeremy Hill is, we're going to argue this in a little bit, is arguably in the hunt for AFC rookie or NFL
rookie of the year.
So, I mean, there's the guys that made the big plays last night. Three fairly talented players. Dre's not completely shown it, but he's also been behind some pretty good guys. Mm-hmm. It's kind of shown that he's bided his time, and the last 2 weeks, here he is. He's kind of arrived on the scene a little bit, and that's what it comes down to. You're right. Let the really talented guys make plays.
Yeah, and this offensive line. Don't forget about that.
Yeah, they've been really good lately.
I mean, I think that's as much of what it's about. It's the way that the line, Hill, Hewitt, have all kind of clicked together into that same style, and maybe Hill was the biggest
puzzle piece, but also don't forget how much flux there was with injuries across. Zeitler missed some time mm-hmm. because of injuries. You obviously missed Andre Smith for time because of injuries. Hewitt was a rookie. He was trying to feel his way through some games early on, an undrafted rookie at that. Hill couldn't get in a rhythm because he was split in time. So I think all those things now have meshed together where now with Eric Winston playing that right tackle, it's the same five guys. It's Hewitt now and is going into his 17th game as a blocker. Jeremy Hill now knowing that he is the featured back. It all kind of clicks.
Let's talk about Adam Jones real quick. I gave him my game ball last night, and
was he happy with that?
He's not unaware.
Okay.
But I mean, I just felt like if you look at effect on a game, he essentially delivered them 10 points and stopped the biggest run of momentum going on in the game. You had his punt return early in the game that set him up at the Denver 45 yep. that ended up in a Nugent field goal. You had obviously the kick return when
right after Denver made it
Broncos
20-14.
Come out, they get the long kick return
yep.
and get a touchdown, and all of a sudden it's 2014 and everybody's thinking, well, that was a fun half
yep.
and now it's over. And then Adam immediately after that takes it all away. That has happened previously this year.
Yep.
And so he sets up a touchdown for you there as they take it right in. And then the interception, which, although it didn't lead to points,
it should have if Reggie Nelson hadn't been an idiot.
Reggie Nelson
he admitted he was an idiot.
Yeah, he admitted it after the game that he did commit a taunting penalty and shouldn't have done it. But although that didn't get you points, his interception, which was a great read of seeing exactly mm-hmm. where Thomas was going to go
it.
And jumping it, that stopped the run of Peyton Manning just destroying this team for three straight drives.
Because he had gone three straight drives, touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. Granted,
the last two were
good drives.
Were long drives.
Right,
they totaled, I think, 170 yards.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he was hot. He was Peyton Manning being Peyton Manning in every
and
capacity.
And so it ended the game then with that interception, three and out, and then the Drake Kirkpatrick interception.
Two more picks.
Two more picks. The pick six and then the one down by the end zone.
So, I mean, that is invaluable. It's, I mean, you can't say enough about a guy. I do want to bring in, for those of you watching live or whatever, you're going to get a little bit of behind the scenes how this works. I've got some audio. You're not going to hear
it. It's real technical.
It's real technical.
Watch this. This is magical.
This is real magical. And so I'm going to roll it in later at an editing studio.
The great part is, see, I just do this part with you. I don't even know how the magic happens. I've never seen the magic app, so maybe I'll get a chance for behind the scenes.
Maybe you will. Maybe I'll show you. So we'll just I've got some audio from Adam Jones. That those of you that listen to Scribe Session, which you should be listening to Scribe Session, it's up on iTunes. You can follow any of the links up on sustain.com when we post this. And you can see exactly where this is at every day, or every week, I should say. But that will be up later as part of the podcast later. But for now, I'm just going to point to the screen and leave myself a little gap so that I know that to put it Adam Jones later. But here was Adam Jones after last night's game.
You know, you smile by days like this when you come in and play. The best quarterback in the NFL. We come out of here with 4 picks. Win the game and coming in the game as the underdogs. And nobody believed in us except the guys in the locker room. So I take my hat off to the guys in the locker room, the coaches, people upstairs in the city, man. This is a good win for the city. Everybody talking about what we can't do in the nighttime and this and that. It worked out for us today. We played good. And it's good to show the growth of the team. And everybody keep their head down.
You had the big kicker turn after even turn. Hey, all day, all day, great one.
No, every time I get back there, my mom says to score or make a good play. So, you know me. Every time I get back there, I'm trying to score. It don't matter if they had a big play or not. So, but we dialed that one up, and the guys, I take my hat off to the other 10 guys up front. And Seth had an unbelievable block on that one. Marquise, I just say those guys did good. Marcus had a good block. Both of the guys in the back way, so it worked out for us.
How much this win help you guys confidence-wise going into next Sunday?
A lot, you know. Knowing that we definitely know that we're in the playoffs, so know that if we win next week with a loss, we could be in second place. So I think if you ain't got no confidence after this, you might well stop playing this damn game. You know what I mean? It's hard to win games like this late in the season against good teams. This was a playoff game, and I hope we can take this momentum, learn from the mistakes, but we got to enjoy the moment so we can know what it feels like for when they come back again.
You're a guy that has never shied away from the moment. Bigger the moment, you don't mind being out there. So this is really your kind of
Oh, yeah, this is my atmosphere, baby, Monday night. Everybody watching in the world. Everybody against you. Nobody thought you'd be here from Bankhead Projects, you know. So I enjoy every moment, man, and I enjoy the process of getting ready, man, and just come out and try to have a good day.
We need a musical interlude.
Yeah, we should have a little
like,
musical
like a little
interlude.
Elevator music right there, just because.
So that
mark your time down. I know you do
I got to mark my time down so that way I can go back and do it quickly and I don't sit there. See, I'm organized.
I know that.
You're a wing it guy.
I got no notes.
You don't need notes.
I got a pad of paper.
Because it's all up top. It's amazing. You continue to hold on to it up there.
For someone as senile as I've become, it's a staggering thing, Paul. Just staggering.
Some of the interesting things of what Adam Jones had to say. I loved him talking about, I mean, and everybody knows, Adam has always been one of these love the lights, love the stage guys.
When things are going well.
Right. But
he's even funnier sometimes when things aren't going well. He's more brutally honest when things aren't going well.
He is the ultimate type of personality that is not a shrink in the big moment.
No.
He loves the stage. I loved him talking about, I was just a kid from the Bankhead Projects in Atlanta, you know, and I'm just happy to be out here soaking it in.
I'm going to give you my life story right here in this locker right now.
Yeah. And, you know, but talking about how it's important to enjoy this moment and remember how it felt and how you got there.
Right.
Because they got to replicate this twice more now.
They do. That's exactly right.
Obviously, just to get the first playoff win, much less what they want to do beyond that. So guys like Adam Jones, and now what do you do? What do you do with Terrence Newman and Drake Kirkpatrick?
It's a good question. It's one that we're obviously going to follow this week, and
it's
a storyline. Part of me wonders, and it's something that we didn't get a chance to get into after the game. The press conference with Marvin Lewis goes pretty fast. The locker room session goes pretty fast, so you can't get into it as completely in depth. I mean, don't forget, he's coming off not playing in Cleveland with the ankle, and he could have tried to play through it. It hurt him enough to where it affected the way he played because – I was thinking about this last night, too.
He wasn't injured when we asked.
Because I asked the question. I said, will you check and see if he's hurt? That doesn't mean that he's not hurt. I mean, it means that he didn't come out of the game due to an injury.
Playing through pain.
Doesn't mean he wasn't playing through some pain. And I'm not here to try to give you an excuse for Terrence Newman. But let's not forget, when we did our midseason awards, who was your MVP?
He wasn't my MVP.
No, he was one of the corners was my MVP. I mean, the corners group was my MVP, and he was in the corner group.
In the conversation of three, he had played incredibly.
And he has played
incredibly.
And he
has, until the last few weeks.
Yeah, and some of it he slipped, and some of it, again, he got hurt, and he did not play in the Cleveland game, even though we tried. I mean, remember, he came out for warm-ups, or at least his own personal warm-up, backpedaled, tried to show that he could do it, simply could not, had to shut it down, and ended up being inactive for that game. So it makes me wonder, hey, is he still a little nicked up? But I think it also shows that you know what you can do if you have to? If he's not 100%, you can trust Ray Kirkpatrick, at least right now. He's shown you nothing that suggests you can't trust him.
More than trust.
Right.
I mean, I would make the argument that he, at this point, after the last few weeks of being vulnerable with Terrence Newman, maybe he's the guy.
Let's face a little bit of the facts of Terrence Newman. He's a 36-year-old corner who maybe now can't go a full 16-game season. Maybe towards the end of the season, he is simply worn down through injury, through age.
Remember last year, he missed. He got banged up and then never really came back those last three games of the season. You know, it takes longer to recover.
And at the very least, and that's the one thing. If you're Marvin Lewis and you're Paul Gunther, is you know you got a pro that if you go to him this week and say, listen, I know you're not feeling right, and even if you are, we're going to give Dre the spot. He's going to he may be inside burning up, but I think he handles it like a pro because it's what he's been.
Yeah, and I mean, you can't deny three interceptions in 2 weeks.
No. And sometimes that can be skewed if guys are throwing at you constantly, but he's made some really good plays on the football.
I mean, I mean,
the pick
seen
six
him
was an
beat.
Easy interception. It was a terrible decision by Manning.
But he was there.
But he was there.
And how many times are we going to continue saying this?
I thought the one in Cleveland last week was great. He almost baited him into it. Mm-hmm. And the one then last night by the end zone was just a terrific athletic play to dive and make that pick.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes, you know, interceptions can be skewed, but he's made three good plays here in the last two games.
He has. And at a certain point, because I remember thinking, oh, there's another, last year, his pick six last year was at Minnesota, I think, or Minnesota or Indy,
yeah,
whichever
think,
one it was, the game late in the year, Baltimore, I don't know. And when it went right to him. And you had the one last night, it goes right to him.
Jets game, maybe, but anyway.
At a certain point, don't you say, maybe he just has a knack for this.
Maybe he's in the right spot at the right time.
I mean, the guy
maybe
has.
Maybe he shows one coverage and jumps in the one where he knows the route's coming.
The guy has six picks. And he's only started four games. He's played sparingly.
Right. He's been basically
six interceptions. Yeah. I mean, in his career, at a certain point.
And the other part, too, is you got to have some ball skills. And how many times this year, and again, I don't want to make this, I'm crapping on Terrence Newman, because I think a lot of Terrence.
Absolutely.
As a player. Terrence has probably dropped 5, 6, 7 interceptions this year.
A lot of drops, yeah.
The ball comes to Dre, he catches it, and that's a big part of intercepting balls.
He does catch it. And for a team that so values turning the ball over.
You got to catch it to intercept it.
I mean, it's all we ever hear from Marvin Lewis is about the turnover. And I mean, you got to credit him. And this team has made a habit, everybody out there, of not catching interceptions. And Dre's very good
at
converting. And I think that's part of it. And it's one of those things where when he has been out there, you haven't seen those blatant just destroyed on a double move
and that's what
or something like that. You haven't seen that.
That's what got him.
Maybe he worked out of his game.
And some of that is maybe he was trying to make the big play. When you're trying to jump routes on a double move, what are you trying to do? You're trying to say, I'm going to jump that first route, and the guy goes by me. Maybe in this case, he's let the whole thing come to him, the old cliche-ish term, but it's true. And guess what? All of a sudden, the football's finding him, and he's not getting beat on double moves.
Yeah, because he is quick enough. He's tall enough. He's athletic enough to make all those plays. That's why he was a first-round draft pick, which, oh, by the way, I loved this tweet I got last night. Which was, I think, maybe a game ball or an assist on the game ball should go to Carson Palmer because
this is a good one, yeah.
His trade delivered you Giovanni Bernard and Dre Kirkpatrick, who were two big heroes last night.
Two of the three touchdowns.
Yeah, so I mean, that is the gift that just keeps on giving for this team. And someone said when I was you know, talking about how well Reggie Nelson was playing, this was in the first half, had a great first half, and his interception was a huge game changer as well.
Yep.
Somebody said, is that the best trade in Bengals history? And I said, yeah, what is David Jones up to these days? I mean, what a great trade that was.
I got to go back in the archives for you for the best trade in Bengals history.
Old man moment?
Old man moment.
Old man moment of the week. Oh, this is another one for our Scribe Session at Home listeners. They get me to bring in the Scribe Session old piano music. What do you got?
I'm going to have to go Pete Johnson for James Brooks.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Let's, Pete Johnson for James Brooks, Carson Palmer trade, or Reggie Nelson.
Getting Coy Bacon as well in a deal.
What was the Coy Bacon deal?
I can't remember who they dealt, but it wasn't much. And Coy, of course, has the what?
He has the Sack Record.
You learned that on this program.
Yeah, thanks to your skinny old man moment
exactly
of the
right.
week. Yeah, that's pretty good.
22.5 sacks in 76. Look it up, kids.
It's for you, for the kids. We teach lessons here as well. We don't just talk
about it. But back to your point. You think that wasn't a good trade, the Reggie Nelson trade? That's in the group. We have to go back to the archives and look at some of the better trades. And you're going to look at some of the ones for guys on this current team as some of the best of all time.
Oh, man, the Carson Palmer trade has to be.
I would agree.
You got him for nothing, for a guy that didn't want to be here, that was going to retire, and you landed those
and
two.
And whether you like Andy
Hugh Jackson.
Or not,
benefits on
not,
both sides.
The guy you drafted to replace Carson Palmer has led you to four playoffs.
Four playoffs. How many playoffs did Carson Palmer lead you to?
Two. Just saying.
I mean, and granted, the defense has been much better, and we can talk. I'm not going to get into that debate, but 4 years in a row, this team has now made the playoffs. Never, obviously, in franchise history has that happened. I mean, this is a special run that it's just missing, obviously, the January success, which ties back to what we talked about, the way they're approaching this January differently. How differently would you view this four-year run if the Bengals did win one or two or make some kind of run this year? How differently would you view 11, 12, and 13? Would you blame Jay Gruden? You know, I mean, I saw a lot of that last night.
There's a little possibility of that because you asked Andy Dalton to do things he's not capable of, throwing the ball 52 times in the Charger game. Yeah. That's insanity. I know they got behind, but they abandoned the run even when the game was still a one-possession game, for goodness sakes. I mean, I know he thought that was the way to win the game, but it's obviously not.
They didn't have Jeremy Hill last year.
You're right.
Ben Jarvis
at the back nine.
Were they going to hand it to Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis?
That's legit. I mean, I'll give you some
of that. You do what you got with what you got.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I was asked this. I was on a Seattle radio station yesterday to preview the Bengal game, and the guy asked me a question that I hadn't thought about. He said, is the window of opportunity for the Bengals still open? Is it cracked open? Is it wide open, or is it closing? I said, you know, honestly, it's kind of still wide open because your core still isn't an aging core, and for parts of the core that are,
it's in its prime
at the cornerback position. At Leon Hall, Terrence, you've drafted to replace those guys.
Yeah.
I mean, so you know, that's the part is maybe we simply look at those first. If they win a playoff game this year, and then next year, then take another step, you will look at the first 3 years as just building blocks, nothing more, nothing less. That should they and were they capable of winning a game? Yes, but in the playoffs, you're playing good teams. Sometimes it just doesn't work out. If you continue to inch forward, you look back and go, all right, those were the building blocks, and here's where this team was finally ready, identity-wise, personnel-wise, a little luck-wise, right bounce of the ball-wise, to take it a step further.
I think they learned over the last 3 years, and in particular last year, that they wanted Andy Dalton to be that guy.
Yeah, and he's just not.
They wanted him to be, you name it, Breeze, Rodgers, but that he was going to develop and turn into that guy. Hugh Jackson saw he's not that guy. They drafted for a running game. They drafted Russell Bodine. They drafted Jeremy Hill. They preached the running game. That was Hugh's charge all year, was to get, because it solves everything. It put your best foot forward instead of putting your worst foot forward in these big games against good teams. Good teams will exploit that if you're not playing to your own strength.
Right.
And you've seen it now. And it, at some point, obviously, at some point, if the Bengals are going to make a run, Andy Dalton's going to have to win them a game.
He's going to have to make a big throw or two. There's no doubt about that.
There's going to be some point where teams are going to just sell out and they're going to be effective stopping the run. And he's going to have a big game.
And we've seen him have those. Right.
And he can. But when he has a bad game, it can't kill you.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And they've let it kill him when he's had bad games.
And I'll go back to talking to Witt after the game last night. The more success you have running the ball like this, you will then start to dictate what you're going to do coverage-wise. You're going to start to have people go, can't double either one of these guys on the outside. And a healthy A.J. Green in man coverage, as we saw against Pittsburgh, will kill you.
He will.
He won't just have an okay game and a little bit over. He will assassinate you.
He really will.
So you've got a chance now with this running game to then dictate what defenses are going to do.
Yeah. You want to go to Twitter?
I love Twitter. It's one of my favorite venues.
Is it?
Yes.
Our Twitter people, we love you. We love you, Twitter people. But you tend to be pretty angry. But today,
they're
the
happy.
Sea should not be angry. So I'm not afraid to dive in head first and go. And let's see what we can come. We got a lot of questions.
All right.
We've got a whole lot of look at this. Someone literally. I might retweet this. Someone tweeted me a sad thumb, a thumb with a sad face drawn on it, and it looks like a little. Maybe a soul patch, or he just injured himself trying to open a beer bottle. I'm not sure.
Is that rouge?
I don't know, but this is what I get. I'm retweeting this right now. This is what I get. Why do I get this?
I want to hear it.
He just, Peyton Manning reacts to Monday Night loss to Cincinnati, and he drew a sad face on his thumb.
You know, honestly, that thumb kind of looks like Peyton Manning, come to think of it.
I don't know what's wrong with people. What is wrong with people?
I really think I hurt my thumb.
That was last night. It was 6 hours ago. So this guy's up.
He was up at the crack of dawn.
He was up at 6:30 in the morning drawing thumb faces.
I like it. It's actually a well done thumb.
You got
it.
You got to appreciate that.
So you got to go to.
I had to so everyone can see it. So people can see it. This is what I get. Okay. So look at this. Any chance Tyler Eifert comes back for the playoffs?
Do you want me to answer that one just for everybody?
No. No. Go ahead. Just answer it.
The answer is no.
He will not be coming back. Quit asking me. Okay. What happened with Newman last night? Is he slightly injured? We kind of got into that.
Yeah, we touched on that a little
bit. We got into it, Terrence Newman. Okay. Playoff seedings. Yeah. The Bengals can finish 2, 3, or 5, but not 4 or 6 unless they tie. Sound right. That's correct.
That is correct.
Another tie.
Yeah,
Jesus, don't even.
Yeah, we're not going to go there. We're going to go with the winner.
On deadline, a Sunday night tie, I would literally throw my computer.
Let's go over them real quick. And they're actually the scenarios are pretty simple, to be quite frank. Yeah. If the Bengals beat Pittsburgh and Oakland beats Denver, the Bengals finishes the 2 seed. All right, if the Bengals beat Pittsburgh and Denver beats Oakland, as Denver will, the Bengals will finish as the 3 seed.
As Denver will? Hey, do you see them just handle Buffalo? Hey. Oakland is hot right now. They're not quite my Jags.
Derek Carr was 9 of 53, I believe, passing the football.
Carr has been playing
better. He's actually played.
I think they might have found a quarterback.
They're
over
going
there.
To angry Denver playing for home field. I'm going to go 45-7 Denver.
Peyton Manning a little shaky last night.
Yeah, the third quarter he wasn't though. That the third quarter of last night is what he's going to do to Oakland. I will promise.
It's not impossible.
But again, the scenario is Bengals win in Pittsburgh and Denver loses to Oakland. Bengals are 2 seed. Flip flop it. If Denver wins, the Bengals are the 3 seed.
The 3 seed.
Still will host a game. If the Bengals win on Sunday, they will host a game for sure.
And let's just go ahead and point this out. A very good chance, San Diego.
San Diego Superchargers.
San Diego Superchargers come back
What a chance for redemption.
3-6.
This has been a season of redemption. Going to Baltimore and winning. Finally winning the primetime game. I mean, there's a lot
of this. Them in that game because it would be the ultimate, we are not going to do what we did last year is what they would say. And they would come out. And, San Diego is a feisty.
They're a feisty little group.
Phillip's
a fighter.
Little bolo tie would not be happy.
Phillip's
about.
A fighter. Now, if the Bengals were to lose to Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh wins the North. The Bengals obviously get a wild card. Mm-hmm. If Indy and it doesn't matter what Indy does. Even if Indy wins, Indy and Pittsburgh would finish with the same record in 11-5. Indy, of course, on that ridiculous Ben Roethlisberger 700-yard passing game, would finish the tiebreaker ahead. So the Bengals would then actually go to Indy. So the scenarios are easy. You're either going to get the bye. You're either going to get a home game as the 3 seed, or you're going to Indy for the first
Or you're going
game.
To Indy.
That's it. Those are the scenarios.
Huge scribe win, by
Please
the way.
Please tell me there's not a tie.
if there's a tie,
the tie, I will jump. I will go find parts of Three River Stadium that's still the rubble of it and just beat myself about the head.
Diapers and tricycles?
Diapers and tricycles.
Diapers and tricycles. That's for our avid podcast listeners. Huge scribe win.
Yeah.
All we got to do is go to Indy.
We love Indy.
We love Indy's the best. Drive
nice,
up.
Nice little simple drive.
Easy little drive. I'm back in my
great
in my bed at a good hour. Well, although it could be a night game, so we could maybe not. But still, it's still an easy drive.
Yep.
And I'm sleeping in my bed on Sunday night or Saturday night, which is just
have Bible study in my room about 10:30.
Yeah, we'll be there. Bible. That's what we'll be doing. So it's down to just a few. Likely, although they get in that 3, you've got a number of teams that could end up sliding into there.
Kansas City still has a chance. I think the Texans still have a chance.
Houston still has. They need a lot.
Obviously, San Diego is the best possibility.
They just got to beat Kansas City in order to get the 6.
Correct.
Under that scenario. So there's your playoff scenarios.
And Baltimore still.
Baltimore is still alive. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Baltimore's still alive.
Baltimore's very alive.
So there's a chance
you could face Baltimore here.
You could face Baltimore here. Would you want that?
I don't know.
Would
man.
You
Being
want
the team
that
three
over?
The one thing you'd say is they seem to have their
have a
number,
matchup.
But, do you want to face a team 3 times?
It'd be
a
Dalton game. because that's their weakness. They have
the secondary is
a absolute train wreck. This 2 weeks in a row they've been picking guys up off the street over there in Baltimore.
And Joe Flacco this past Sunday was
Antoine Kaysen is starting now.
I believe he is.
I mean,
so is Jeremy Miles at safety.
They just picked Antoine Kaysen up off the street 2 weeks ago. Jeremy Miles and you saw when they were healthy earlier in the year how they were able to throw all over.
The Houston Texans signed Case Keenum off of another team's practice squad on a Monday. And he not only started, they thought so little of the Baltimore secondary. He didn't have great success, mind you, but they thought so little of that secondary, he threw the football 40 times.
40 times. Let Case launch it.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's keep going. Would you rather push a limited A.J. Green to places from @Ron_?
This is a good question, I think. I know where this is going.
Would you rather push a limited A.J. Green to play and get the win at the Steelers or rest him to be fully fit in the playoffs?
I'll let you answer first.
I think this. Here's the thing about A.J. I think you – listen, he's been playing through pain all year. If he's going to go out there and dangle his right arm as a decoy, sit down.
Agreed.
Don't bother. This team has won games without him. They need him. But he didn't have a catch last night. He's completely rendered ineffective, and he can't block for a team that needs to run the football.
And against Pittsburgh, though, the last time he had 9 for 224.
He did.
But if he can't catch, I will answer this. Yeah, the problem last night, and I talked to him after the game, was he couldn't lift the arm above his head. They did do X-rays. The X-rays did not show a fracture. That's the good news. He said it was just a bruise, and that sounds easy. But when you got a deep bruise, as everybody knows, those are painful enough to not be able to move your arm. I think the whole point comes, if the guy can move his arm and have range of motion and catch footballs during practice this week, and I doubt he's even going to be ready by Wednesday, probably by Friday's practice. If he can do that, then I think you go ahead and play him. That's what NFL players do. If they're 85%, 80%, and that's good enough to do the things that they're capable of, they play. I think if not, if that arm is right, if that arm probably still can't get it to a spot where he's got some range of motion and feels confident in it, then you do. You shut him down, but that the injury is going to dictate that you shut him down.
To me, it doesn't change because of situation, in my opinion. I mean,
it's a good question.
It's a very good question. If he can play, he can play.
Right.
If he can't play, if he's going to go out there as a decoy and he can't get his arm up, he shouldn't play.
And I don't think they'll do it. I think they did it last night because in the moment with adrenaline going and the
thought
fact
he could
that
play
still,
through it.
You still, you know, if you're Denver, you're still not quite sure.
And Denver didn't know, right?
Is he able? But you know, we saw him. He'd go out for a play and he'd come off the field. He'd go in for a play and come off the field.
And
his arm would be hanging downside every time. I was honestly a little pleasantly surprised that he actually took some questions last night after the game, and he didn't look in as much pain in the locker room as what he showed on the field.
Yeah.
That's a good sign. But you can tell him he's disappointed, obviously. But I said, can you move your arm now? He said, no, I can't get it up to anywhere. So you can tell the guy's hurt.
Yeah. All right. So we're knocking him out. I like this Twitter question. This is good. We're quick fire here. This is nice from @SonOfRay. No questions. Just wish you and yourselves a very Merry Christmas from all Bengals fans in Britain.
Britain.
Hey. Cheerio. Like cheers, mate.
Absolutely.
I've gotten quite a few from our friends overseas. We get a lot of followers over there.
You know what that means?
What?
A Guinness. It's time for a Guinness.
Guinness, yes. You know what? That's what we need to do. We keep doing these. We keep doing these. I think we should get beers like we do at the Beyond the Stripes show.
I think we should, too. By about the 46-minute mark, it'd be a fun show.
46 minutes. As you know, for anybody that watches Beyond the Stripes, it tends to get a bit loopy.
Yes, it does.
All right, so let's keep going here. What's wrong with Andy? I don't know. We've been talking about that for 4 years.
That is a legitimate
question to ask. He's worse than usual the last two games. That's from @PandaAV.
I will tell you, he's been awful inaccurate, Paul, the last couple games.
I don't know.
Honestly, last night his inaccuracy was a good thing because if he was more accurate, he would have thrown two or three more interceptions.
Well, he really would have. What was it? I think he threw two passes beyond 10 yards.
Yes.
Is that what it was?
There was two completions beyond 10 yards. One to Sanzenbacher, which I think actually was thrown shorter than 10 yards.
How many over 20? Just the two, probably.
The one to Sanu and...
Oh, yeah, the throwaway. I have to go look. I haven't gone into the PFF stats yet to see how far
Hugh Jackson obviously decided the best I'm going to do is go screen game and anything to get
smoke
it just out of his hand.
Smoke and mirrors offense is what
job.
It was.
And I thought he was horrible in Cleveland, absolutely horrible. I want a disclaimer. I'm not on that anti-Andy Dalton thing. You give me a quarterback that takes you to 4 straight playoffs, I'm taking that guy in this league in a heartbeat for all the teams that don't have a guy that can take you to four wins, for goodness sakes.
Yeah.
But the last 2 weeks, I think the guy's right. He's not been very accurate.
I like instant gratification. Already a thank you for answering from our boy at Ron underscore.
There we go.
We love you, Ron. You're the man. And all our, maybe, I think our Britain people are watching and listening too.
6 hours, 5 hours different. Sure, it's only what 5 o'clock in the afternoon there. 5:30, 6 o'clock.
They're three pints deep.
Queens Park Rangers getting ready to play.
QPR is not today.
Okay. That's kind of my team. I don't even
Boxing
know.
Day Friday though.
I don't even know what that means.
Boxing Day.
Oh, is it like really
Boxing Day? No. Boxing Day is
kind of like the Memphis BYU game.
Do you not know about Boxing Day?
Not a clue.
It's the day after Christmas, and it's a European holiday.
Well, I think my box is out
where
the curb.
The servants all have to work. No. The servants all have to work on Christmas, so they have a day off for all the. That's the history of it.
Okay.
They get the day off on the 26th, so it's become a holiday over there. But what it became was a huge soccer day. So, like, every soccer team
Rangers?
Plays. QPR will be in action. I don't know, maybe QPR Burnley, a big.
What about Tottenham?
The Hotspurs?
Yeah, I like them too.
I know that my Everton Blues, the Toffees, are playing Stoke City. Because my buddy,
you got no chance to go to. They're not going to Stoke. Tell me they're not going to Stoke City.
It's a tough place to go in and win. I actually don't know if they're playing there or not, ooh. But I do know that they are playing on Boxing Day. Boxing Day is a huge day for soccer.
Stoke City, like the Rip midpoint. City. You don't want to go there.
It's like the All Star Weekend. It's the midpoint of the season.
Okay.
But I'm kind of checking out because my Everton team is really struggling. For all of you that don't care at all,
exactly.
Okay, let's keep moving down the list.
Britain does.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah,
my boy over there. Cheers. Okay. Oh, God, what's the latest on Eifert? Stop it.
The question keeps getting asked, and it's frustrating to us because we've been stonewalled on that question 1,000 times. It gets asked of Marvin Lewis.
And I assume we're getting stonewalled because it's not happening.
Well, the other part, too, and it's probably something that I guess we'll have to write this week because the question just will not go away. You know, the one part, he was going to go on a radio show on one of the Bengals flagship stations, what was it, about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And I made it a point to say, well, if he's going on the show, can he talk to us about the injury circumstance? Well, to his credit, he turned around and said, well, I'm not going on that show now, which then, light bulb, okay, obviously it's not good. The funny part is, Paul, when was the last time you saw Tyler Eifert even in the locker room?
He's around occasionally.
I haven't seen him in a long time.
It's rare, though. He's definitely not one of those guys every day. I mean,
there are rumblings, and the question needs to get asked that he had another surgery done, and this time on the shoulder. We'll have to we'll chase that. It just honestly, folks, it's frustrating to us.
We've given and we just kind of give. You have to assume that he's not coming back. I mean, there's just no other possible option.
The standard answer for Marvin Lewis a lot of times with guys like this, and it makes him look foolish because he gave the same standard answer when it came to Vontaze Burfict was.
Right.
He's making progress. He'll be here when he's here. And we've gotten that same answer on Tyler Eifert. It's obviously he's not here. He's not going to be here. So to answer your question, look forward to seeing Tyler Eifert come back in training camp. If you come down to the practice fields in July,
that's
the next time you'll see Tyler Eifert.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, we've got our boy Rick Broering.
Yes.
Starting the hashtag Skinny's Bible Study as a hashtag on Twitter, which I like. I think we should get behind that. Maybe we'll have that. Maybe that'll be a new feature every week.
Okay.
all right. Wrong to this from at Bengal Fan 1. That had to been a sought after.
Yeah,
Twitter
first
handle.
One
good for
him.
You.
First
you
guy.
Must have been
first,
a long
first
time.
One.
Travis, he says wrong to prefer at Indy versus a home game. In the playoffs, less pressure to eat and ease into it. Would you rather go to Indy or play here at home?
Well, right now, Indy can't run the football, and they've become extremely one-dimensional. When the Bengals played up there, Andrew Luck killed them. Ahmad Bradshaw killed them. Trent Richardson killed them.
Their offense killed them.
Yes, overall.
And that was the game where they played with Jason DeMunch, Marquise Flowers, and Vinny Ray.
Vinny Ray playing middle linebacker.
That was the middle of that ugly. Yeah. They had no clue what was going on at linebacker.
They played without AJ.
They had no AJ Green. They really weren't playing with Jeremy Hill.
Correct.
Giovanni Bernard got hurt. Everything about that game.
You would argue
different about the way the Bengals are now.
You'd be silly not to ask for the home. You want the home game, obviously. I mean, that's the part of it. But I'd almost right now rather go play Indy at Indy than have to play Baltimore again and try to beat them for a third time.
I think Indy has become the weak link in the AFC playoff picture.
And honestly, at the time the Bengals played them and shortly afterwards, I thought they were really, really, really good. They went to Pittsburgh and got exposed a little bit, and then injuries started to hit them, and they've kind of slid backwards. They were horrible, horrible Sunday against Dallas.
Yeah. No, they were. And, I mean, it's just readily apparent that they are. They're the anti-Bengals.
Yeah.
They have the quarterback and not much else.
No.
And the Bengals have everything else, but they don't quite have the quarterback. If the two teams could combine to form a super team, they'd be pretty good. You know, I think you'd take Andrew Luck on that squad.
In the year 2347, when we have the great Dayton, Indy, Columbus, Cincinnati Metroplex,
yes.
You could have that team.
You could have that team.
The Indianapolis Colts, Bengals.
The Indianapolis Bus
Indianapolis Bolts. Indianapolis Bolts. There we go.
Bolts, yeah, there you go. All right. What else we've got here? I like this one. I got this one from at EJ Howland. This is pretty good. Was this the best game at Paul Brown Stadium?
The question got asked a couple times last night. You were there. I was not there for the Green Bay game last year. That was a heck of a game.
But we talking...
Talking and
entertainment,
result.
Or are we talking...
What's
so
on
much
the line?
On the line and importance as far as best moment? I mean, I would go back to some of those early games. When Kansas City was undefeated in Marvin's
came here,
first 9-0, year.
Came here and got beat.
And got beat Peter Warwick's
gave the,
game.
That was the game. Was that the game? Who gave the guarantee? Was that I think Chad gave the guarantee.
Did Chad give the guarantee?
Chad gave the guarantee.
Chad gave a guarantee, and Peter Warwick backed it up. And little John Kitten, a little tiny hands, went and made it happen. You know, that was the Monday Night Football game in 2004 when they beat Denver their first time Monday Night Football. That was also a big one, Jake Plummer. But that was the Bengals were the moment the Bengals were cool again.
Yeah, you're right. That's a good call. That's a good call.
Let's see.
But with all that was riding on last night, clinching a playoff berth on a Monday night, one of the most iconic quarterbacks in NFL history, your team that's been a disaster in those circumstances, the fact that it was an extremely entertaining game, one team sees momentum, the other team sees momentum, the other team got it back, I guess you could certainly put it up there.
So many of the Bengals' most important wins in the Marvin Lewis era have come on the road.
Yeah.
At Pittsburgh in particular.
A lot of the biggest.
I mean, if you talk the 2005 win at Pittsburgh when TJ ends up with a terrible towel on his shoe
the
afterwards.
One from a couple years ago.
One from a couple years ago where Geno Atkins took over the game and they won in that brutal battle. Even in 2009, they won an 18-12 game at Pittsburgh. I mean, a lot of the biggest wins have come in last year. What was last year's biggest? You know, they were early season, New England. Green Bay. They were early season wins, and you had some big ones late, but they weren't as entertaining. They were blowouts. They blew out Baltimore last week of the season. They blew out Indy. They blew out Minnesota.
Green Bay game was a pretty entertaining. I mean, the way it ended, it was
if you're talking
great,
entertaining,
yeah.
I'll take that Green Bay game for entertainment, but if you look at the big picture of what all was on the line, I would say biggest night in PBS history. Yeah, very good question. Thank you, at EJ Howland. I like that. Oh, I've got a soccer question. I won't do it. I won't do it. It's about...
I think you answer that privately.
Yeah, we'll talk.
Is it about the Queens Park Rangers, though?
It's about QPR. Apparently, they're at Arsenal.
Okay, thank you. Then I know. See,
it's just all the information that we needed.
Good.
All right. So good Twitter. Good Twitter run.
Thank you, folks.
That was a good Twitter run. We appreciate you talking, and maybe we'll be able to clip that up and post that up later. Our little Twitter Q&A for those of you that will be watching later, because not everybody. Some people have jobs. A lot of people that listen to us don't have jobs.
No, I think they do. They listen at night when they're back home from their jobs.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably true. But, you know.
Except for Fred and Delhi.
Fred from Delhi is our guy.
He's our guy.
He's our guy. We love him. We love him. He's the best. All right, so we got a little bit of time. Let's break into this. Offensive Rookie of the Year conversation with Jeremy Hill. Odell Beckham. I went through last week on the blog and ran through all of the last however many non-quarterbacks that have won Offensive Rookie of the Year, okay? You had six of them, and every single one of them, outside of Percy Harvin in 2009, led the league in yards from scrimmage. Jeremy Hill currently leads the league in yards from scrimmage.
Just rushing yards,
and I thought after Sunday when Beckham went off again that he was going to lose that, but no, yards from scrimmage total and his rushing yards, he's now over 1,000, and I mean,
doing it on a big stage on national TV last night was
there
a
were
big...
just so many. Here's the thing: everyone had handed the award to Beckham, and just you know what,
he's great,
he's unbelievable. The run he's on is one of the best runs by a rookie receiver that this league has seen in a long time.
And again, let's go back to our warm up. How did LSU lose a game?
Zach Mettenberger.
And
their coach eats grass.
That's it. There you go. That's all you need to know.
So I think that's probably part of it. But, you know, I just think that Hill gets overlooked because no one really knew who he was. And no one really understood what he was doing. And he's doing it in flyover country. He's not in New York. He didn't make the three-finger greatest catch in the history of the NFL. And all those things deserve credit for Beckham. But the guy is – he's been incredible. And he's carried the Bengals, and he just carried them to one of the biggest wins on the show. I think you got to start putting him in the conversation.
He's already over 1,000 yards. He's probably going to finish in the 1,100-ish range, which is still pretty good if you just look cut through raw numbers. That's pretty good. He's got a chance for 10 rushing touchdowns. That's double-digit rushing touchdowns is a huge number. In his six starts so far, he's averaging 116 yards a game and 5.5 yards per carry. You have to look at those and kind of extrapolate, all right, the guy didn't start some of the season. What's happened when he has? You look at those. You look at what he's done. If he puts up another 140-yard rush to finish the season with three straight 140-plus-yard rushing games with your season on the line, I mean, really you needed to win at least – a couple of those games to get in the playoffs, and maybe if you win all three to end up winning the division, and he was the focal point of that. I know it sounds homerish because we're in Cincinnati. Odell Beckham is a freak, and if he won the award, it would be hard to argue with it because the guy has been just not just the three finger catch aside.
His
been
run
fabulous
has been incredible
because he was a guy that didn't play a whole lot early in the year either. He finally got some playing time.
Yeah, he was inactive he was hurt the first quarter of the season.
He finally got some playing time as the season went along. So you got to extrapolate his numbers and go, all right, what would he have done over a 16?
But Hill's
season?
The same way. They both kind of mid season took over their positions.
Paul, if you took it just based on starting numbers for Jeremy Hill, he would end up this season almost 1,800 yards rushing.
Yeah, if you extrapolate his season out. Yeah, I think it's a valid argument, and I would like I'll be curious to hear the debate. Most likely, I think Beckham gets it because he's got lots of love.
And New York helps. Yeah,
but I think this. How many people in the country last night that weren't real familiar with Jeremy Hill after the 85-yard run said, "Wait, he's 235 pounds. Yeah. He's a power back because you saw his breakaway speed. I mean, it's such a rare combination.
That run was him in a nutshell.
Yeah.
He broke a tackle at the line of scrimmage, an ankle tackle. He broke that. Had the vision to see, all right, where's my next cut? Then made the cut and made the burst. Then set up blockers down the field and then
had the explosion to run away.
Then when he was trying to get Mo Sanu the heck out of his road, then had the explosion to run away.
Not many running backs
in this league do that stuff. That stuff happens in college. That stuff happens when LSU plays Louisiana Monroe on a Thursday night.
Small running backs can run away and the bigger backs can't run away.
Right.
And the small ones can't break the tackles of the line. It's just that rare combination.
Long runs don't happen in the NFL. They don't happen because linebackers are fast and big, safeties are fast and big, corners run you down from behind. He has had numerous 20-plus yard runs this year.
He's got a rare ability to break the long one because of his size and speed combination. I mean, it's just it's been something to watch. And we've had this debate this past week because every year – we give our team MVP out through the PFWA, and you'll find out who that is next week. I probably just gave it away since I just brought this up. But I mean, we've had this conversation. Who would be your MVP? And this we started it before last week, I brought up Andrew Whitworth.
Right.
We brought
There's
up Adam
different
Jones.
Guys, right.
We brought up then you brought up Jeremy Hill, and you're looking at it, and it's a half a year, but. Because of the way this team has really found himself, you'd have a hard time talking about anybody but Jeremy Hill for this team MVP and what they've been this year. All right, well, Pittsburgh next week. We get to take the drive to Pittsburgh, heading up. And
who's driving, you or me?
I don't know. Paper, rock, scissors?
Want to do it right now?
Do paper, rock, scissors for driving?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Is it 1, 2, 3, shoot?
1, 2, 3, then shoot.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
All right.
Ready?
All right. 1, 2, 3, shoot.
All right.
1, 2, 3, shoot.
Oh, yeah. Best 2 out of 3?
No, you're driving. You won.
No, I get to pick. That's not.
Oh.
No. The winner has to drive?
You get the mileage.
Maybe I do get to claim the mileage. That's true. I think I'd still rather not drive.
Okay. All right. I'll drive.
See?
Clean rider driver?
Things. Sure. Well, we have to call Jay. Jay at the Daily News, who was the soldier.
Trooper taking us to Cleveland and back.
Yeah, he was the best. Yeah, we appreciate it. But, yeah, it's just we're the two of us. So, yeah, we just settled it right now. Pittsburgh is playing fantastic. Their offense ranked number one. I like this team now. I saw what I needed to see. That's why I didn't believe. Because I saw what I needed to see out of these guys, in a big spot, and I think that it's now apparent that the identity of this team can be enough to carry them. But defensively, obviously,
I was saying let's flip to the other side of the football. One of the things I'll give the Bengals a lot of credit for last night is they did make Denver extremely one dimensional, and that one dimension is great because it's still Peyton Manning being that one dimension. But they'd had great success of late. They had turned to their running game and had the running game carry the load for them. They didn't run the ball very well at all last night. That now is, what, five of the last six games. They've done a really good job on the ground, and some of that's opponent-related. The one team that gashed them was Pittsburgh. They did do a lot of that gashing, however, in the fourth quarter when it seemed like everything just went straight downhill in all phases of the game. That's why that game's so hard to read is Pittsburgh that dynamic offensively what they did in the fourth quarter? They probably are to some degree. Or are the Bengals capable of doing what they did the first three quarters for one more quarter?
That game was just such a weird dynamic, the way it spiraled so quickly. Yep. It did, and Paul Gunther told us after that, it felt fluky.
Yep.
And obviously, he would be prone to say that, you know, but it really did. The way it happened so fast.
The 94-yard touchdown pass.
Yeah, and the way they had gone three quarters really neck and neck, really battling it out, kind of like last night was. And then it just seemed like a couple of breaks, a couple of little mistakes.
You know, really offensive turnover.
Spiraled the whole thing the wrong direction. So, the Bengals have had success in Pittsburgh, as we talked about earlier. I mean, I like their chances now, especially after what they did last night.
I do too. I just that Pittsburgh offense just
it's scary.
It's very scary.
It's scary, but their secondary is not.
No.
But the Bengals have to be able to exploit that.
And that's the thing. If 18 doesn't play, then who are you exploiting it with? Captain Drop.
Another drop for Sanu last
14
night.
Of them. That's insane. I like the guy, but
I like the guy a lot. He's a great guy. You know, we had him on our show. He's a fantastic guy.
A delight who's been dreadful the last 7 weeks.
He's just
can't get open. Get open. When he does get open, doesn't catch the ball.
He hasn't been targeted a whole lot, but I think a lot of that's because it's a trust factor.
Yeah, it is a trust factor.
You're gonna throw to a guy that's dropped the ball. All right, so let's get out of here. Let's get out of here. I've got the song.
I was going to ask you if you had, because I really didn't have one. I usually come up with one.
You do normally have one, and it's going to be different, and it's probably going to – I might take some hits for this, but I'm okay. Because you know what? We're here. We're doing the live stream thing. You know, we're doing the video pod for the first time. I feel like we're just – the Bengals have really exercised even – everything
you're
looks
this a
better
big
now.
Setup. This better be good, boy.
It's a whole new world. That's right. I'm going embarrassing. It's a whole new world to take us
like
out.
Like Disney, a whole new world.
It's a whole world.
Yeah.
That's what it is. That's what it is.
Have you done that at karaoke before? Sounded like
I would never do that at
karaoke.
Sounded
like you have, though.
That is a bar-clearing song. No one sings along to that. Skinny, I told you about this. It's not about you. It's about everybody else.
With the lights still down? No?
First of all, anybody that's doing karaoke with the lights still down, trying to get people to come out and dance next to them, unless it's actually Celine. Who sings? Is it Celine Dion?
Boy, you're asking the wrong cat. I just got a Disney factor because I have daughters. That's the only thing I know.
It's just whoever, unless you're actually coming in and it's someone who has a record deal, you're an idiot if you're doing that song.
Yeah, when I go back and listen to this, it's about this point of the program where I go, not going to listen to the song.
That's fair. But I think it's fitting.
All right, it's fitting.
Can I at least get fitting? It's embarrassing. It's not a good song.
You've made two song choices now all season long. Two of them.
I have not made. Listen, every podcast ends with a song, and we can go back. You have not picked every single.
All but two, I think.
No, that's not. What was the other one that you were going to bring out?
I didn't have one for today. I just didn't.
No. I thought. What was the other one that I did this year that you're about to make fun of me for?
I can't even remember now.
You just
so bad.
I thought you had it right on the edge of your.
It's probably so bad that
make fun of me.
I don't even remember. It was so bad.
I'll go back. Maybe I'll have to reiterate that when we come back next week for our playoff podcast edition.
There we go.
So hopefully, you know, we hope to do this all the time now, at least through the rest of the season, where we can get a chance to be a little more interactive.
We'll do it in Arizona.
Some of the site. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big step. My bad.
Don't make me hyperventilate. The season is we got a lot going on. Okay,
that would be a whole new world. I would sing along at that point.
Would you?
Yes.
All right. So diaper tricycle singing a whole new world.
Yep.
That's what will happen in Arizona if that's where the Bengals end up. I just getting through every day is hard enough. I don't need to be thinking about a January full of playoff coverage.
Very good point.
But we'll have everything for you, of course, tonight. Beyond the Stripes, Kevin Huber's going to be there. Super excited about it. Kevin was great last year. He brought, I think, every member of his extended family, and they took up the biggest, longest push together table in the history of Moorland Lager House.
Catholic school family. Gotta love it. Oh, gotta love it.
And it was great. We had, that was when all basically his sisters and his mother just told embarrassing stories about him from when he was a kid.
That's awesome. I love
which
those.
Was great.
Did he hang his head in shame?
There was a lot of blushing going on, if I remember that last year. I don't think maybe we could flip the script and he could just tell embarrassing stories about them at this point.
That's never a good idea.
This is a terrible idea. So we flush these things out. So that'll be tonight, 7 o'clock at Beyond the Stripes at Warren Longhouse. Come down and join us, have some beers. We'll be talking about the resurgent Bengals. I know I've got a bunch of people that are in town from out of town. I think might come down.
All excited.
So you can come have some pops with us all. It should be a great time. Have the double IPA that they're serving.
That would probably take my head right to there.
Yeah, we might need a nap before that. So we'll have that. And then, of course, all your coverage until this run ends. And after last night, you got to think maybe it'll go for a little while.
Because it's a whole new world.
It's a whole new world. Thank you. So let's get the heck out of here. Let's bring in a whole new world. I apologize for that. But, hey, it's fitting. It's all that really matters. So we will talk to you next week.
I can show you the world. Shining, shimmering, splendid. Tell me, princess, now when did you last let your heart decide? I can open your eyes. Take you wonder by wonder. Over, sideways, and under. On a magic carpet ride, a whole new world, a new fantastic point of view. No one to tell us no, or where to go, or say we're only dreaming.
A whole new world, a dazzling place I never knew. But when I'm
to see,
I'm like a shooting star. I've come so far, I can't go back to where I used to be. Every turn a surprise, every moment red letter. I'll chase them anywhere. There's time to spare. Let me share this whole.